All right, well, I'll start because the time is ticking away. My name's Bronwyn Diehl, and I'm going to talk about a project I'm doing for the University of Western Sydney using in the School of Medicine using LAMS. You may or may not have seen my talk last year, so forgive me if I repeat myself setting up the background, because it's still the same background. But last year was mostly theory, and this year we actually have some results or some experiences to talk about. Having said that, I have been on maternity leave for the whole year, so it's all been happening in the background. I've been keeping tabs on it and had a few frantic months the last few months when I've come back one day a week. So I'll just cage that my talk is an update, but it also has some limitations. One of the major things that happened in the year was that what was just a UWS project turned into an Australian Learning Teaching Council Priority Program project. That was thanks to Leanne Cameron. She put in a grant application for us, and we won that. And we now have a great team of experts to guide us, ranging from the Advanced School of Medicine at Macquarie all the way down to Melbourne University. And we also have money to pay for a full-time LAMS developer, who's Glenn Mason over there, so some of this work is his. Okay, so UWS Medicine is a brand new school of medicine. Sorry, am I in the way? And our first students started in 2007, so we only have our first batch of students going into third year this year, next year, and the work I'm doing is for third year to fifth year students, so we actually needed something for the students by 2009, next year. Currently there's about 100 students in that first batch of medical students, but it's going to increase to about 120 students per year once everything's up and running. It's such a new school that this building was only finished this year, and I haven't even been into my office yet, which is somewhere in the middle over there. It's an undergraduate medical course. It's 5 years, and it's set at Campbelltown University of Western Sydney campus, and its main aim is to gather students from the greater Western Sydney area to help get some homegrown doctors, and hopefully that once they've been educated in that area and gotten used to the hospitals, the Campbelltown Hospital, Blacktown Hospital, Liverpool Hospital, they'll actually stay there and specialise there, and they'll improve the amount of doctors there. Having said that, not all students come from Western Sydney. There's a special program to encourage Aboriginal students, and there's also students who have the high enough marks and wanted to come in and had the right attributes also get in. So years one and two are mostly on campus. It's highly based around problem-based learning tutorials, so the students will get a case and talk about it on Monday. All their lectures will then be feeding back into that case, and that will be some of their learning. They'll get some clinical exposure at the local hospitals, and also usually centred around what they're learning in that problem-based tutorial, and then they will sum up what they've learned at the end of the week in another tutorial. These are their PBL rooms over there. In years 3 to 5, things change dramatically. Our students are placed in clinical placements in hospitals, and they're actually not on campus anymore. So they're leaving the university environment. And the students aren't all doing the same subject at the same time. It's just not a realistic thing to do to a hospital to place 100 students all in their oncology ward or whatever. So they're scattered around different hospitals, and they're scattered into different disciplines. So at any one time, a third might be doing paediatrics, a third might be doing cardio, and a third might be doing cancer work in oncology. Now, traditionally, once the students were in clinical placement, they would come back to the university and have a lecture that was set for them. And that could be whatever was set up, and it was not usually related to what they were learning in the hospital. So they could be in all of those disciplines and come back for an infectious disease lecture and not actually have seen any infectious diseases yet in a clinical setting. So what LAMS is going to do is we're going to break that traditional model and use LAMS to feed them the scientific basis of medicine, the things that they normally come back for lectures for, we're going to use labs to give it to them online, deliver it online. And the first examples of that is cardiovascular disease and risk, oncology and immunology for the next year. Well, we're using LAMS to do all of that, and that's sort of underway. But there's also now a higher level to this project, which we've outlined in our ALTC project. And we have a few questions that we want to ask. What is considered best practice for the teaching of scientific basis of medicine within the field of medical education? So we have an opportunity to create new curriculum. What is the best way to teach these things to the students? What learning designs will be happily accepted by the Faculty of Medicine? So when we have our content experts, who are usually specialists in hospital settings, come in to us and say, well, what do you want me to do? What content do you want? I've got these ideas. How can we guide them into the right sort of learning design? What's the best way to deliver the curriculum? So are the students going to be in groups? Are they going to be single learner without ever getting any collaborative collaboration with their fellow students? Are third years going to be able to do the same module as fifth years eventually? Are we going to have it across, nine modules across 3 years, or is it just going to be three modules in 1 year, etc.? So lots of questions like that. And once we've got some learning designs, can they be adopted by other disciplines? So if we strip the content out of our learning designs and with the lessons that we're learning, are they going to be useful to other disciplines as an example of best practice for online learning? And the final question is, what are the barriers to academics adoption, adaptation and reuse of learning designs? And I'll talk about that in a moment. I just have to mention that the modules, there might be 10 modules now. They're all 25 hours each, so that's a lot of long online learning. They've been broken up into cases of about 5 hours each, so there is a little bit of a break, but it is a lot of online content to be put up, and it has to be engaging, otherwise the students are going to be absolutely furious that they've lost their face-to-face lectures for some pretty average online content. So answering the first question, what is best practice for medical learning? Well, pretty much in medicine, problem-based learning is ruling the way that medicine gets taught, with a few exceptions. At the moment, they get that in a tutorial setting, and they're very familiar with that because they've had it for 2 years of their first 2 years of their course. And the normal way that problem-based learning is taught in medicine is they get the case presentation, so a patient is sick, comes in, has these symptoms, and then the students attempt to say, well, we think it's arthritis of the knee, or it might be they've twisted their knee in exercise. They have a lot of guesses at what might have happened. Then more case details presented, so the students have a little bit more information to narrow down their diagnosis. Students collect information, and that's normally done in lectures, and then the students connect what they've learned in the lectures to the case and give a final diagnosis. And sometimes in problem-based learning, they proceed with what the best treatment would be. We don't do that at UWS. So the students are very familiar with problem-based learning, and it seems to us the best way to approach these modules, because the students are comfortable with that style of learning. And also the clinicians are very comfortable with presenting cases and then moving forward on like that. The next question was, what learning designs shall we use? And these questions are still things that we're answering. What level of design do we make, give the students, do we give to the content experts? Do we say we just want a sort of general PBL theory that I've just described? Or do we give them the LAMS author environment with the blocks of activities already set out for them to just fill in the content? Do we give them that author environment in a set of 5 hours, like for one case, or 25 hours, which is actually overwhelming when you see 25 hours of LAMS content online on the authoring screen. The other question is the number of learning designs. Not all content experts want to teach things in exactly the same way. So not all students want to learn in the same way. So they might not want to be given the case, the multiple choice, the question, the information, the extra question, etc. Having 9 modules of 25 hours, they're going to get quite bored of that format. I've just put e-learning fatigue to describe that. So I'm considering, do we do 8 to 10 different learning designs to suit the different teaching styles? And do we present those learning designs to the academics, to the content experts, or do we kind of keep them hidden and just make suggestions based on what we've learned? So I'll talk about that a bit more. And that's what I'm talking about. Presentation, is it... do we guide them into these learning designs, or do we prescribe, well, you've got this idea and this is the best learning design for you, so therefore you need to fill it in. My feeling is the academics or the content experts will not like to be told how to do this. They actually want to have quite a lot of flexibility in how they present it, because they're getting quite excited about doing it and they want to be creative. So at the moment, we've got 3 modules that have been developed over 2008 and will be presented next year in 2009. We've had the content experts using that basic PBL theory, but they weren't using learning design templates at the moment. Part of that is I wasn't around this year to even sort of help them with that idea of templates. Part of it is that they only started doing everything at the last minute, so they just suddenly frantically started working and then presented me with a whole lot of content and said, this is what we want to do. And thirdly, the people that have initially taken up using LAMS have been quite interested in LAMS, and they haven't wanted to be told how to use LAMS. They wanted to have a blank slate with LAMS authoring and do it themselves, which was quite surprising because we thought most of them wouldn't be interested in learning about a new technology. They would just want to say, this is the content, you do it all for me. But the first 3 modules are all the people who've actually been really excited about LAMS, embraced the technology, learned how to use it and plugged it in themselves, and then said, this is what I'm doing, and I've gone, oh, okay. and then I've helped them to refine that. And so from that, we've actually got 3 very different styles of module emerging, and that's quite interesting to me, and I might not have realised how different things could be taught if I hadn't had them do it themselves first, and it's going to give me some ideas about good learning designs for future modules. So, time, okay. This is a case 1 from the cardiovascular disease and risk module, and we can see that they've got the basic presentation of introduction, and then we have a case presentation, then they have resources and some more information about the case, a forum to discuss what they think's happening, multiple choice questions to test the knowledge of what they've just been talking about, with their resources, and then a few other little cases, activities, followed by reflection. So in this one, the themes that have emerged is that it's very collaborative. There's 4 forums in this first 5-hour case, and that reflects that the person, the content expert, Anne-Marie, who was doing this, is very excited about LAMS, and she wants to be part of every part of it. And she will be there online, once a week, 3 times a week, knowing her. Reading the forums, interacting with the students and being part of that. So there's collaborative work in the forums. There's also group work. The students have to submit a booklet in groups of 3. And the resources is covering the scientific basis of learning. So these modules are supposed to be replacing lectures, remember, that cover the scientific basis of the diseases. So they presented all of their the science as papers and text to read. This is just a little look into how it's looking. They've got some nifty little things where you click on this Excel spreadsheet, and they have to fill it in and they have to upload it, and then they get the answers, and that's using the new task tool in LAMS. I thought you might be interested. And this is an example of the collaborative work they're going to do in students of three. In the immunology, this is immunology, and this is one. It's supposed to be one case that she's presented this topic as two cases. So this is her 5 hours. It's very intense on the clinical understanding of the disease. So we have a chest X-ray. We've got blood. We've got them asked what's the vote for differential diagnosis. So what do they think is the disease based on the case information they've had so far? They give them further history, refine their differential diagnosis, and then they have to vote about what next investigation they would do. Then there's more clinical information, more clinical, more pictures, multiple choice based on their understanding of the investigations that they should do. There's more information from the patient. And then here they have resources giving them more information about the disease, so papers. Further on, again, lots of clinical pictures and things. But there is actually now, she's just given note board pages of information. This is the type of disease, this is the cause, you know, so on. There's not really that much engagement, a chance for the students to investigate that clinical understanding, I mean that scientific understanding. The collaborative work she's done is voting, so the students will get to see each other's votes. And I personally have a bit of a problem with this one. I think the students will be quite bored just given, and I think it'll be quite quick. They'll just go, click, that's the X-ray, click, that's the bloods, click, oh, this is my best guess for what the diagnosis is, click, click, click. And they'll get the resources, and I don't think they'll actually get much through it, so this is something I have to work on, and I might use examples of learning designs from what other people have done to convince her how it could be. Having said that, she's shown me a different one that she's done another case on, and it is a lot better, so I think it'll be okay. This is an example of oncology case one. So again, it's heavy on the clinical understanding of the disease. There's two collaborative moments, voting and forum, and the lots of text and resources for the science behind it. So this is actually almost like the middle ground between the first one, which is highly collaborative and find out all your own information and talk about it in forums, to here's all the information, you know, just digest it, and then this one, here's lots of clinical stuff, and also you can do some collaborative stuff and talk about it, and also we're going to give you lots of science about it. So it's kind of middle ground about that. So it's interesting to just see what's emerged, having just let loose the content experts and the different designs, and it's going to be quite informative when I make my recommendations of what is a good learning design. The students are going to be seeing these we'll do some refining, but the students next year will actually be seeing these cases, these modules, and then giving us feedback, and then depending on how that goes, they'll be refined heavily or not at all. We'll be moving on to the next three modules as well. So, for future... Yeah? Oh, okay. So, just quickly, collect the student feedback, hopefully create 8 to 10 learning designs so that there's lots of different teaching styles. And we need to create a process of how the LAMS team relates to the content experts so that we don't have the content experts doing stuff first and then we're suddenly catching up at the background. But that's going to change because I'm going to actually be on campus next year. And hopefully we'll be releasing those learning designs to others. Thanks.
Any questions?
One in terms of the way in which medical students learn and also how medical practitioners evolve over time. I think Michael Spector, at one of the ASCOLIC conferences, was talking about how medical professionals kind of learn. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering whether that was a factor in developing it.
Absolutely. They really want to encourage that independent learning in the students because once you're a doctor, so online learning and reading papers and so on to get information, because medicine doesn't stop once you leave medical school. That it's always changing. It's changing faster and faster. So we really need to equip the students in how they're going to learn, you know, how they're going to continue learning throughout their adult lives as doctors, and keeping up to date with information, using forms, getting used to that online collaborative learning. Yeah, so that's, yeah, apart from the logistics of lectures and things, that's another really strong reason for them doing this.
Going to feed into that ongoing,
yeah,
continuous education.
The lessons that they're going to learn about how to do online learning and stuff hopefully will feed into what they need to do when they're real doctors. Yeah.
But whether that reflects the thinking process of a doctor, because it was a lot of what I saw, and you said it wasn't really good math, but it was kind of information, and I just wonder, you know, where the spots are, where they actually have to think, read together, integrate it. Was that the voting exercises?
Yeah.
And when you
I agree with you completely. It is a reflection of how that the doctors work. They get information, they think about it, they have a guess, they find out more information, do tests. So that is good for the students to learn that style of thinking, because it is what they're going to do. But then coming back on that, they do need to be a bit more thoughtful, reflective on their learning. And we are going to try and use branching a lot more extensively, so that if the students approach, well, if they get something wrong, they get led on to a more intensive branch. Or if they're interested in a different topic, for example, if they're interested in microbiology and the way that cultures are made and diseases are identified, they could do that, or they could do something about evidence-based medicine. So, what's the evidence and the research for how this medicine's treated? So, yep, those are really basic examples of what we can do. And I'm actually quite excited about next year, because I can't wait to get in there and make it a little bit less linear and more interesting for the students. Yeah.
Because I can imagine that, that in a hospital environment, the doctor orders this and this and this, and this doesn't come back, and that doesn't come back. Do we make a decision or not, or do we wait? And those sorts of real life.
Oh, it's too expensive to order every test. I agree.
Do you have any plans to do interprofessional learning with your doctors?
Not on the modules. It's a scientific basis of medicine. That all comes at the hospital. Yeah, I hope. And there's also conference weeks at the campus, free conference weeks, where they get some of the stuff that can't be done in hospitals and can't be done online.
I thought what was really interesting was the three different designs you put up. It showed how visual that representation is, and how a gas went round.
Yeah. Round. And that's one case of five, five or four, yeah.
I mean, it's just a lovely example of what we really need to think through is what's the appropriate amount of information, handling a massive amount of information. Mm. I mean, that's what doctors do have to do. So somehow you've got to have all that brown stuff there. But what are the bits that we put in between? How do you then offer that to medical teachers to suggest?
I think if we've...
So you could put stop marks where you've got this amount of information. Now you've got to make a decision.
That's the power of the learning. The learning design that I want. It gives me that power to say, well, this is the best learning design. And, you've got all of that, but we need to insert these key parts of the learning design into your sequence to make it a good sequence. So,
Following on from that, just also from your presentation, it's the amount of information that you're amount of monitoring that the teachers and monitors have to actually expand, because I would imagine this is going to, like, is there going to be a plan for specific times that the students get on?
There is for the first one, the cardiovascular disease, because she wants to do it that way. This one, she would rather that she didn't have to do any monitoring and never sees it again. And I'm also going to make a suggestion to the faculty that we employ tutors who spend a minimum of 1 hour a week on this. I feel that if the students are losing face-to-face teaching, 75 hours of face-to-face teaching, the least we could do is give them some contact for some of these when the content expert won't do it. I'm running out of time,
Very good. Is there any risk or consequence? Diana said, you know, you get to a stop point and make a decision. You make the wrong decision, the patient dies.
And
what happens?
That's right.
Or something goes bad, and then it branches out and then sends them.
Yeah, you can't do loops in LAMS, but we could create artificial loops, I suppose. I would love to do some of that, and I think the students would really enjoy that. It would make them feel like they were real doctors, like, oh, that I thought the cancer was this, and I sent them on chemotherapy, but it should have been radiation, and oh, they did. Yeah, and it'll really bring it home, and it'll be like a read your story adventure thing, and I think they'd really like that style. So yeah,
adventure.
Choose your own adventure.
Okay, thanks, Bronwyn.